That's good parenting right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
Are
right,
we
let's
gonna
do a
do
cold
it?
open. This is
Let's do
terrible.
something. No, we weren't even. Were you even trying to do a cold open?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I thought you might have been trying.
Mm-mm.
Because if that was your best shot, we're gonna have problems.
You'll know when I'm trying.
Okay. Is this it?
I'm actually not sure. Hello and welcome to episode 260 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver.
Christmas Adam. How was your Christmas?
Oh, 'cause this is after Christmas,
This
this
airs after.
episode.
This is on. Yeah, a couple
A
days
couple
after
days,
Boxing Day.
right. I'm gonna say best Christmas ever.
Wow. Most recent, definitely most recent.
Yeah. I'm really predicting great things that happened. Because we're actually doing this before Christmas, so I'm going to go in on a positive note and say it was fantastic.
I'm sure it was, as
Yeah.
was mine.
Great.
As is mine going to be, it will be, it was what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, as you say, we are recording a couple days early due to scheduling, so Christmas is actually over when you're listening to this. And yeah, you're back home.
Sure.
You are. You went away for Christmas?
Oh yes, we went away, or we're yet to go, but
Yeah.
again, we technically, when you're listening to this, went away and had a great time, and now we're back.
Will you do sledding when you're there?
Oh yes.
Okay, see that's what I'm looking at. I bring it up because later on in the did you shoot anything interesting category?
Right.
Hopefully sledding will be part of it, but not today. They'll be next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping outdoor hockey as well.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking I've got big plans. Like I am not bringing my good camera. Well, I'll say I am bringing a good camera. I'm just not bringing my go-to. I'm gonna bring the 5D Classic, and there's gonna be snow, so, and I'm planning to shoot hopefully mostly in lots of light. And therefore the 5D should be great. And I just, it's one of those things where I'm going to be at very cold temperatures. I'm going to not want to worry about my primary camera. So
Lens,
I'm
what are you
going to,
bringing for lens?
I was kind of thinking probably the 85 and the 50. I've been using the 50 so much lately, and it's kind of my group shot go-to. So if I'm going somewhere where I'm not sure what the surroundings are going to be, and I think I might want to get a family photo here or there, or just groups, then definitely the 50 mil is my been my go-to. Because I'm going to go somewhere for a few days, I think I'll give myself the option and bring the 85 and the 50.
Is it going to be a hassle to throw your wide angle in there too?
Not really. I guess I could. I'm not
I
sure
would
where
do
that.
it.
Where do you think that's going to come up?
It's going to come up because of where you're talking about playing outdoor hockey. There's going to be a lot of the whole environment's going to be appealing.
Okay.
So
All right.
you'll be surprised. Like I would even shoot like with on the was it the 18 mils? What's the widest it goes?
19, yeah.
Oh, forget it then.
Yeah. Might as well throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, I don't know why you wasted your money. No, on 19 mils, you're gonna get a lot of really cool looking pictures with like rink and sky. Like it's is it an actual outdoor rink or is it just
Yeah,
a
oh yeah.
pond?
No, it's an outdoor rink. They've made it. I think it was used to like it's I think it's part of a school, and it's where like the basketball courts were. They've kind of fashioned it. I think, again, I haven't been there for quite some time when it's been outdoor skating, but I think it's over an area where it's basketball courts.
Because I think you're gonna get a really cool, you'll get a really cool setup, a bunch of pictures with that wide angle lens, like nice down low on the ice, and like that's gonna come in really handy for hockey. The
Okay,
other
I
image
will.
I would consider, and it might be the 50 mil that does it, but you're staying with the in-laws
Yes.
where they live. They don't live right down in downtown, do they?
No.
if there is a nice fresh blanket of snow on any of the mornings or the evenings, probably the evening, and you get back and get a nice wide shot of their place with like the sort of mountains and the like the hills in the background,
mm-hmm.
you can get a nice, amazing wide shot with all the kind of bluey snow in the evening with their nice lit up warm yellowy windows of their house.
Okay.
So I'm saying you can get a nice homestead shot. Which I think if it's a nice fresh blanket of snow, you're going to get a hang it on your wall kind of next year's Christmas card sort of deal.
For them.
Or it's just some random people that you meet on the airplane. Yeah, for them or for whoever. I mean, I think it's, I mean, I was there with you, 10 years ago, maybe now.
Yeah.
And I'd brought my SLR camera and shot a bunch of film pictures of the house and not just the house, but like, you know, all the stuff they have, tractors and whatnot. And they were thrilled. They really did appreciate, some of those, because it really is a picturesque area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very pretty.
But I think a nice wide shot of the homestead, it's the right time of year. It's going to be dark at around 12:30, and you're set.
Okay, so now three lenses. 50,
I would bring it.
85 and the wide angle. I can manage that. I can pack that.
Yeah, there you go. Amazon.
Right.
If you're buying all your post-Christmas stuff now is the real way to do it because people bought you things that you don't like.
Right. Return them, and then with all the money that you get from returns, spend it on Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, and click through our site, and then that part. What did you think you got this year that you took back?
Uh-oh, I don't know. I didn't really ask for anything, so I have no clue, to be honest.
Do you get anything?
Sometimes. I think it's one of those things, maybe your kids are a bit young for this, but it's kind of, you know, important, I guess, for them that they see me open something. So mm-hmm. usually there'll be something under the tree for me, and they'll have had some input into it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's kind of that's the thing. They're very inclusive when it comes to present opening. They want to make sure everybody has something.
My kids usually make me something, and so it's something that they've drawn, they've spent 8 seconds on.
Yeah,
and then I have to figure out how long I have to pretend this is good before I throw it in the garbage
or the recycling bin.
No, I go right in the garbage. Just a big show. Make a big show of it.
Light it on fire first.
This is what I think of your crayon skills.
Right.
Yeah. Loser.
Well, my kids brought some stuff home from school on the last day before the Christmas holidays. And so they, you know, they bring home all their Christmas coloring and drawings. And I held up what Jack handed me, like a cutout colored piece of holly and a colored Christmas tree. And I held it up and I said, really, Jack? His writing on it to Daddy. I said, really, Jack, do I have to hold on to this or can this go in the recycling? He's like, yeah, recycling. And so I was thrilled. Cause I straight up asked him, I'm like, do you need me to hold on to this? Will it make you feel better? And no, straight in the recycling.
I would have loved it if he just said to his teacher, look at school, I can just go ahead and recycle this here. Come on.
Who are you kidding?
I can't even think of a name. All right. Mrs. Tamson. I don't know. Is that her name?
Sure.
Yeah. Who are we kidding?
We can save a step here.
Do you look over here and see me eating paste? No? Okay. I don't understand what's going on here. That'd be awesome. Oh. At his age, that would be just...
I really appreciated the fact that he didn't make a big deal of the fact that we're done with this charade, right?
Yeah, you got a frame, Dad? You have an empty frame ready to go? He calls you on his iPhone 6 on the way home. Yeah, which implies that you haven't picked him up from school, that he's walking home, you know?
Like right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my daughter is so prolific at bringing these things home from kindergarten that I'm beginning to suspect that we are the kindergarten recycling. Like, they're just like, I think the teachers are just sneaking stuff into her bag. Like, all right, you can save a bunch of money. Make him do it.
The whole class's stuff is in her bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week, they're just going to come by the truck and just dump a bunch of stuff in the driveway. There you go. We're going to cut out the middleman.
It has other kids' names on it, but they've carefully scratched it out and written Emily on the side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not, they haven't spelled it correctly, but... Which, P.S., is a weird thing here. Like, we picked such run-of-the-mill names on purpose, and people still misspell it. And I just look at them in pity and go, why would you think there'd be five E's in Emily? Like, why don't you go sit down? Why don't you just go think about what you've done? While you're waiting, just draw me some Holly with your name on it.
Wow, you're on fire this week.
Yeah, I'm just gonna shut it down. I can't top this.
Go out on a high.
Yeah, 6 a.m. Over here. There you go. 6:17 at this point.
You're trying to make up for the Christmas episode.
Oh yeah. I had been chugging cough syrup that day. It's okay. No, all right. I don't think anyone
listened anyways. So
no, no, no. It's actually, I think it's being published right this second as we record this one.
All right.
Weird. So the other day, this is a story I was going to tell last week. And I just need to know what the heck.
Okay.
All right. So I pop in the other day to the beer store because that's where they sell the beer.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get a little actual four pack, not even a six pack. It was a four pack I was getting of the big beers. They're the half liter beers, though. So it's like a six pack for all you care.
Right.
This is not the part of the story that matters. But the point is, I'm going very, very minimum. I'm not returning any bottles. I'm just going to pay cash. It's going to be a very fast transaction.
Gotcha.
So I go to the front, go to pay. There's one till open, and there's a guy who got in there just ahead of me. They just started ringing in his order, but he's obviously buying for the Christmas party.
Okay.
Or he's a terrible alcoholic. I don't know what. Whichever.
Yeah.
But he's got like an actual cart with right. Like I'm gonna say conservatively 12 plus cases of beer and other alcoholic beverages.
Okay.
And a case is this big, like the big 24 cases. I'm already getting into this story. I don't think you're going to care.
Okay. All right. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the punchline.
So I'm waiting, and they have to go through and they have to scan in every single different, because it's not 12 cases of, you know, Molson Canadian he's getting. It's one of each different kind of thing, right? So they have to go in and scan each one.
Right, right, right.
You know, and then the bill comes up, and it's, okay, great, that'll be, you know, $211.41. 211 euros, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And so he pulls out a stack, like just a fat stack of coupons, and drops them down there, like 25 cent off coupons or something.
Oh, no.
And he puts them down there, and she looks at him and just says, well no, what do you, well, yeah, like... Each one represents 25 cents off a case of whatever. And she says, well, I can't ring these through now. And he says, well, no, he needs to use these. And I'm in the back looking at this going, is this happening?
So where are you in the line, right directly behind him?
At this point, I have gotten so close to him to make him uncomfortable that I'm kind of rubbing up against his pants.
Yeah. You're breathing on his neck.
Oh, I'm going through his wallet at this point. And so, and then the way things go in Germany, despite the fact that Germans are Germans and thus follow rules down to the letter, at all kinds of, like, what do you call it? Grocery stores, like say the German version of Safeway and all that. You can't just walk out. You have to sort of shimmy past the checkout. Like, it's all kind of blocked off so that you can't leave the store without going through checkout.
Okay.
And they don't give you a wide berth. So, like, if there's a line, you have to kind of, you know, limbo past people.
Okay.
And the other ones, the ones that aren't open, they have gates on them so that you can't go through.
Right, yeah.
Okay? So that's what I'm faced with. So I'm sitting here behind this guy. Now he brings out the 50 cent or 25 cent off coupons or whatever it is. And she looks at him and says, no, I can't. Like, and then she says to him, basically, you're only allowed one of these per purchase. Like, you can't just stack them all up and walk out of here with $30 in your hand, right?
Right.
So he says, oh, okay, no problem. I'll just pay for them individually. So he's going to make 12 transactions now instead of the one. So she cancels the one, rings the first one up, he pays cash, she gives him his change back, and then rings the second one up.
Oh, no.
Are you joking?
No.
And I didn't think it was really going to continue. I thought, come on now. Surely you're going to have some pride. I mean, at 25-cent coupon on 12, 15 cases, what's the best-case scenario? You're going to save $4 on a $220 purchase?
Yeah.
What's the time on this? You're going to spend half an hour at the store, another half an hour cutting these out meticulously from yours and your neighbor's newspapers, evidently.
Yeah, that's not good.
I put my beer down on the ground and just shimmied past him, and I gave him the lederhosen and walked out. Yeah. I know, so then, it wasn't her fault, but it doesn't matter. Somebody had to clean that beer up, and it wasn't going to be me.
Right. So you won, then.
I don't think anybody won on that one. Least of all the listener.
Right.
I think you guys paid the ultimate price here.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't on the Christmas episode.
No. All right. So on a happier note, I didn't want to put that on the Christmas episode because I was furious. I'm less furious now, but I still have to ask that guy.
But still a bit furious.
What possible, what benefit is there? There's none.
Nah.
So you met up with a listener yesterday. Today.
Today. Just came back.
Like, today. What's that like?
Meeting up with listeners?
Sorry. What was that like today? Esoteric.
It was good. Yeah, we did something that I'd never done before in Vancouver. So I was kind of a tourist in my own hometown. We went to the Capilano Suspension Bridge, which was amazing. I loved it. And they have it all, you know, lit up and decorated with lights. And we probably spent, I don't know, a good hour and 45 to 2 hours kind of wandering around the park and checking everything out. So
because they have those elevated trails, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And like you say, we went just kind of as it was starting to get dark. I think we got there at about 3:15 or something like that, and stayed until, you know, around a little after 5, something like that.
Okay.
It was great. Yeah. And met up with a listener from Washington, from near Tacoma, named David Paulin and his family. And it was a good time. So my whole family came, and they were staying downtown, and we met, they were just staying at a hotel for the weekend. We met at the Capilano Bridge, and we kind of chatted, and we walked and took a few photos, and it was a good time. It's nice to do that. That's, I think, the third or the fourth time that I've done this. So I'm a veteran when it comes up with comes to meeting up with people. And then you know what, we walked around, we took some photos, and then we even went for dinner afterwards. So it was a nice little time. He gave me a couple of nice bottles of wine from the wine area near where he lives. Mm-hmm. That was really nice. He tried to buy my whole family dinner, which I declined. It was too gracious of an offer. I'm a little too proud when it comes to these matters, but it was a really nice offer anyways. And
it's nice to know ahead of time so you can get the lobster.
Yeah. 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 So no, we had a really, really nice time. So, I just came from there. I'm going to ask him about posting a photo. I took a couple of photos of his family as a group. I took one of him just coming across the bridge as a solo. So, I will ask for his permission, which, I think shouldn't be a problem. And if it's okay, then I'll post a couple of those pictures online, or we'll post them on the Two Hosers.
This is one of those things about, you know, I rant about how I hate technology, but this is one of the things that I love about technology. And
what's that?
The fact that there's a stranger, no longer a stranger, you know him now, but there's a stranger who's heard your voice for 5 years and then can basically get in touch via the internet and meet up with you and your family and have like a nice evening. Like that would not have existed.
No, 15 years ago. Yeah, and I still think that there's probably a lot of, you know, fear that the internet creates where people might not do this, but it's one of those things where we weren't meeting in the back alley near a dumpster or anything, you know, we're meeting in a very public place and you know, just based on the communication that I'd had back and forth with Dave, and he's been a listener for a while and he's put, you know, offers out there before as far as, you know, me coming down and he's part of a photography club near Tacoma in Washington and coming in you know, doing a guest spot at his photography club and stuff. He's had other offers in the past and it's never worked out for me, but this was perfect. He was down in my neck of the woods. And so, yeah, I'm happy to oblige people. And again, he had a daughter that was similar age to my kids. And yeah, it was kind of nice to get together and do that kind of thing. So it doesn't come up that often, but when it does, if I can work it into my schedule, then I'm happy to do that.
It's definitely a cool thing. Like the a very similar, not quite the same, but a very similar thing happened to me this week as well.
Okay.
Where we had not a listener of the show, but somebody got in touch and said, "Hey, I saw your video of the Adam Carolla London show. I was actually at that show. I teach music here, about an hour away from Tübingen." But I'm in Tübingen every couple of weeks for something, and you know, do you want to get a coffee one time? And he was an American guy, and I was like, at first my instinct is, you know, why?
Yeah.
No, it actually isn't. My instinct 5 years ago would have been what for? You know, but now I find myself, yeah, let's, you know, say yes to these things. It was a similar kind of thing. It wasn't dodgy. Like, do you know of any, you know, dark parking garages? Hey, does this smell like ether to you?
Right.
You know, it was. Yeah, I'll be in town. I want to grab a coffee, and I thought, yeah, let's just see what that's about. And so we met up and had a coffee and talked about all kinds of stuff, music, his being in Germany and listening to the Adam Carolla show, that kind of thing, and how one does that, how that all comes around, and all sorts of stuff actually. So it was pretty cool. Again, that's what I like about the technology now. Sometimes it really can bring people together.
Absolutely. And you know for sure already, you know, that there's a common interest. And that's why when he asked, you know, would you like together, what would you like to do? I first threw out the Capilano suspension bridge because that was something that we were wanting to do anyways. And I knew, okay, it's got a photography tie-in. He's visiting from out of town. Turns out, I mean, I've lived here for 15, 16 years. I've never been to Capilano Suspension Bridge. Mm-hmm. David, who lives in Washington, has already been there before. Like, I think it was a few years ago, but just the fact he's like, oh, we'll show you around then because we've been here before. So I thought that was kind of funny, but he'd never been there for the lights, I don't believe. I think he'd gone in a summertime or something.
Where, right.
Yeah, so it was a different experience, and it is awesome. It's just something for those who are coming to Vancouver to check out. It's not cheap. Family of four is a much better deal than, you know, going as individuals. But I want to say a family of four is $80, and that's a year. You get a year membership with that. Mm-hmm. So on your way out, you actually get a year pass. But it is so, so cool. And we spent a couple hours there, and I will definitely go back again at least one more time in the next year just to check it out at a different time of year. But beautiful views, and it's all West Coast, and lots of these little, there's a huge big suspension bridge which is kind of the main draw, but then there's lots of little mini kind of treetop little bridges, so you can kind of walk all around this sort of majestic park and mountains and crazy old, you know, 500-year-old trees in the park. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of, it's almost like a museum, lots of little bits of history and information around the park to check out. So super cool. Will be a holiday tradition for my family, I think, for years to come.
Oh, great. Yeah, it is a fantastic place. And if you're not familiar with it, it is featured in the movie Hardcore Logo. So check it out.
There you go. Which there's is the yeah, and we speaking of like the Christmassy and things they're doing, because we've been sort of busy like trying to soak up all the Vancouver and the holiday stuff. We went to the Christmas train yesterday.
Before I get to that,
what's that?
Did you shoot anything interesting?
Oh yeah, Christmas train.
Oh hey, there you go.
So not again, just kind of around the park walking with my parents were in town, so. Walked around and took a few photos of they have the bright lights at the Stanley Park, which is all part of the surroundings of the Christmas train. So took a few pictures out there. I think I hit on this a little bit on the Christmas episode, but probably no one listened. So I've been on a big high on the video light. So same thing with my photo challenge this week, but with the Capilano Bridge, like I'm not using flash at all. I'm taking advantage of the crazy awesome high ISO capabilities of the 6D and mixing it with video light and just loving the results. Like mm-hmm. It's just awesome. You need to have a camera that will do, you know, well with high ISO, because this is kind of a situation where you use it at sort of at dark. I don't think you're ever going to have enough power in the video light to be able to use it this way as your main light in daylight or in a bright light situation. But as the it starts to get dark and you want to use the backlights of all these cool lights, you can use your main light as the video light and then shoot continuous light and not have to worry about recycle time or any of those other variables you have to deal with flash, how it's going to land. It's pretty awesome. So video light is definitely my new favorite when it comes to shooting like these really out of focus bokeh shots that you get at this time of year.
How is it to carry the video light?
Super light, compact, slides in, it weighs less than a flash. It's awesome. I have a pretty large one when it comes to these video lights. There are pretty small ones. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many little LEDs are on it, a couple hundred anyways. Like it's definitely a bigger size. When it was about $300, I have a Lumahawk one, and the beauty of the one I have is that it's adjustable color temperature from, I want to say, about 5600 all the way down to 3000 Kelvin. So you got a huge range that you can match your lights with, or you want to warm tones up, or if you want to really cool it off, you've got that ability just in the turn of a dial. So mm-hmm. That is a feature that comes in wildly handy with this kind of shot that I'm after, this shooting with all the lights and the shallow depth of field and the bokeh. Love it.
And who carries the light when you go out?
I do.
Carry it, but your wife holds it.
No, so most of the time I'm holding it too. Occasionally, oh, wow. I will hand it off to somebody, but I find I just have it in my left hand as I'm shooting with my right hand. So I just hold it up and out. I can mount it on the GorillaPod as well, and I sometimes do that. But most of the time, this is a one-man operation. When I was at the bridge with Dave and his family, a few times he offered to hold it, and I just was like, I can do it. Just I find mm-hmm. that
don't
the more
him.
It's the more I do it on my own like that, the more I figure out what doesn't work. Like most of the time, I'm not going to have somebody hand it off to, so I feel like I better just get enough muscle memory with, you know, my setup so that I'm not depending on anybody else. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Yes. And so, what is the response from the fellow Stanley Parkers?
Nobody seemed to apply. Every once in a while, I did this in Stanley Park and at Capilano. As every once in a while, I'll see people set up to take a photo that's an impossible shot. Like it happened over and over again in Stanley Park, where there's these crazy huge light displays, like a giant reindeer all in red lights or uh-huh. whatever it is, a wall embankment of lights, and people are trying to shoot their cell phone shot of their kids in front of this, and nothing but, you know, completely darkened out faces. And so I'll pipe the light in, and like I was telling the kids that I was the light fairy. I would just from a distance, I was like the good light Samaritan. I was just basically throwing the light on them, and then people would turn and they'd be like, "Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much." And then they'll get a decent shot.
Uh-huh.
So I nobody complained, not even for a second.
Oh, no, and I wouldn't think anybody would complain. I think they would just think, "What is that guy doing?"
Yeah, I think everyone figured it out pretty quickly, especially good. When I would throw light on their dark pictures. And then I had a few requests for people who said, "Oh, can you stay there and do that for us too?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure,
no problem." No.
Yeah.
No, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. No, now you gotta pay me a 20 spot or I'm taking off. So I that's the kind of thing I like. It's not to sort of belittle the fact that they're taking a shot that won't turn out. It's just to sort of say, hey, this will help, and like you say, I'm happy if other people are happy.
That is pretty cool. Aside, I mean, it would be a cool thing to do. A, if I was there with you, it would be kind of fun for the two of us to go out one night and do that. But also the fact that I don't know that you have any extra time on your hands, especially this time of year. But that would be kind of a fun evening to just go hang around outside the Stanley Park train lighting people's photos for them.
Sure, we just would need someone to video us because we need a record of this.
Oh, we'd be handing out business cards and whatnot buy some t-shirts. But we'd definitely be doing that part. No, but that would be kind of a cool little thing that's never going to happen.
Well, and it's a two for one as well, in that as soon as you throw some light on people, then they can actually focus their camera too, right? So yes. it acts as both the ability to focus and a proper exposure. And the cell phones now like are pretty awesome, that if you throw a bit of that light on their faces, the end result looks really, really quite good. So
yes.
It is, that's all they really need. And some of them will throw a flash, but as soon as the flash goes, it's, you know, you don't see anything in behind them.
Right.
You know, the light drops off so fast. So again, if you're standing completely behind an embankment of red lights, you're okay. That light will show up. But in a lot of the situations, like they just don't, it looks, when I see the photo, cause you know, I'm standing right behind the person taking the photo and I see what pops up. I'm like, oh no.
Why don't you just go sit in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so. Because I mean, in those situations, anytime the automatic flash, like the flash is kicked on automatically, basically the camera knows I'm going to drop the shutter speed to, you know, at the best a 60th of a second, probably faster, because it knows the flash is going to light it up. So all of a sudden you're killing that ambient and you're out of luck. So if you can't control it, it's not going to happen. So you got to hope that the light fairy is kicking around.
Well, and I find that, you know, when you use the video light properly, it looks like studio lighting out in the field. It looks so good that, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that the light can be so pleasing with such a small little device. So, again, flash, the hit and miss ratio of flash, well, you've done this, you know, doing flash photography in this setting, like when it's completely dark and you're trying to get the bokeh and the light's going to come on so quickly, you know, the subject sometimes is going to be, you know, pre-blinking because they're worried about the quick flash in their face. Like it's hard to execute properly. And I mean, I've been doing this way for years. And then I just was one of those things that just occurred to me. I'm like, well, you don't need that much light when it's already dark out. So here's a perfect situation with the video light. And it was one of those things too, where I was looking at, we had way back when we had Neil Van Niekerk on our podcast, and I bought his book and he has a whole chapter in there about video light. And it just looked at it, and not that long ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And that's when it occurred to me, I was like, this is really the way to do it. And it was so much faster, no recycle time. And your kids are you know, probably like mine, in that they give you 1 or 2 seconds and then they're off doing something else. So I found that, again, I could get a couple of shots of each kid and then and they could get back to screwing around or whatever they're doing.
Awesome. No, and it doesn't look like studio light. It looks like it's not lit. It looks like,
well, yeah.
This looks wow, that's a really good photo. It's not. Well, we'll talk about that in your photo challenge. We're going to post these, but no, it's kind of funny because you said my kids are starting to give me that. My daughter's starting to give me that 1 second cooperation now.
Right.
Like 3 weeks ago, she would not. She would, no, forget it. Not even, no pictures, Daddy. But this week, or last week, all of a sudden, I had my studio set up downstairs with the white background for a job I had. And when we were done, I said, well, come on downstairs. We'll take your picture, you know, take the white thing. And okay. And she, for 5 minutes, she did what I said. I was so wildly encouraged. Like, the pictures turned out great. I think I probably posted them on Facebook or sent them to you. I don't know. I'll post one of the white background ones on the hosers, but I thought, oh, wow, she's really, we've turned a corner. And it got me so encouraged that I said, you know what, we got really late on doing this, on shooting our actual Christmas card photo, like really late. It's not going to get mailed out. It'll be emailed.
Okay.
But I said that, you know, I'm so encouraged by this. Let's go. I have something in mind. Let's go do this. Let's go shoot this photo I have in mind. My wife's pretty sick. She'll stay in bed. I'll take the two kids. It'll be fine. What was I thinking, man?
Big mistake.
Horrible error. The good news is that it was in public, so a lot of people got to witness my frustration levels. But I did post one of the photos. No one's seen it yet, so this is a big debut for you. But you can see one of the results for the Christmas card is in the folder right now.
Okay.
And I will post it by the time this airs. I will have sent it out to people.
Nice. I see it right now.
Yeah.
So I like it.
That's the kids playing.
Got my live reaction.
That's the kids playing street hockey in the old town on the cobblestones.
Nice.
Yeah. My son can't wear mittens. He can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's looking like he has a pretty sloppy thumb in there or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Try as I might, it's not going to happen. So
I like his Canucks shirt though.
That was brand new. It's one of the Sedins. I forget which.
It 22 says, or 33.
Like I said, I don't know. I don't really care. It says something dot Sedin on the back. I'm going to say it's Henrik.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter. Yeah, he got that for his birthday. So let's get right into the photo challenge because we've been talking about it a lot. Lights. All right.
Yeah.
It was lights. You knew full well that there'd be Christmas lights, that you'd be seeing the lights.
Yes.
Not as many lights here. I mean, it's not really a thing, at least where I am. I feel like that tubing in the Old Town could be lit up a little bit more. Maybe it is, and I just don't know where to go. But they don't do the light extravaganza like Stanley Park or Capilano or some person's house like you've shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just get into mine because you just said it. Mm-hmm. I did my photo challenges outside of a house that's probably like, I don't know, a 2-minute drive from where we live. It's kind of right in central Steveston, and it is unbelievable. And they have it set up. I might have mentioned it in the previous year. They have like the full-on wooden cutouts outside in their front where you can, you know, put your head in and pose, and they have benches and props all over again, all for people. They basically welcoming
a house.
Yeah, welcoming this all on their front lawn, which is quite a big front lawn, which they're welcoming anybody to come in and take photos on their lawn. They have it lit for it almost. They have like some spotlights. They have a Santa sleigh that's new this year that has like the jingling reins, and it's all attached to like, you know, a full set of wooden reindeer all the way to a Rudolph. That the kids can sit in the sleigh and jingle the jingling reins. It's so cool. My kids have already been 3 times to this house because they love it there so much. And yeah, so it's great. So I knew that if I wanted to take a photo, it wouldn't be hard to talk my kids to going down to this house. And so that's what we did. And then they agreed to stand and take a photo. So the background in this photo is just the front of their house. They have a huge Christmas countdown to Christmas clock too, and a huge Santa's chair, all kinds of
wow.
stuff. So it's really pretty amazing. So I basically just posed them in front of an area where there's lots of lights, and then, you know, I use the video light in this to basically light them, and there you go. So there's a lot of blues in the area, so I'm using all the blues. They're standing really close to a set of these blue lights that are just off camera on either side, so it's creating sort of the whole blue rim light, and there's blue mm-hmm. backlight, and then and I think one of them's coming from a spotlight that's down underneath, and I put them there specifically because I liked all that blue light, and then to create some contrast, I just basically, you know, used an orangey kind of front light to kind of set off the blue backlight, and that's it. That was all just dialed in on the video light.
Love it.
Done. That was it. I like this photo. Before you say anything, I like this photo enough that, you know, 2 days after I shot it, I got a print of it at Costco and put it in a little like 5x7 frame.
And how'd they do with the colors? So that's a lot of colors being thrown
at you. They did really well. It looked pretty darn good. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to get.
Yeah.
And no, I was pretty happy that it was pretty accurate to the way I had seen it on my screen.
Nice. Because this is one of those situations where in real life, you probably wouldn't include this many different colors and you know, like it gets really obviously very cluttered, except for in this is the situation where it's exactly what you want. Like, this says everything you want to know about this house, about the time of year, about your kids, well, about your daughter's attitude. Your son seems really like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, this is his, that's kind of a Jack face though. Uh-huh. And there was some better smiles from Jack, but you know how these lights work is that you take five photos in the exact same spot and half the time, half the lights are on a blinking cycle. So all the photos look different. And so this one had everything just kind of timed just right. So there was a maximum amount of color in the background. So being that the challenge was lights, I wanted all of this crazy bokeh in the back. And so there was a couple where he's making a better smile. She was like on her game, but where he's making a better smile, but then I didn't get the lighting the way I liked it. So I figured this is true to Jack. This is the way he's kind of, you know, posing for photos most of the time these days. So I was fine with the fact that that his face doesn't ring of a perfect smile.
Oh, for me, it was the impish way he's wearing his toque.
Oh, that way, yeah.
He's like he thinks he's Brad Pitt or something.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, kid.
And he just lost another tooth, so he's got that bigger space down low there.
Is that from playing goalie?
Yeah. Yeah, he ate a few forehands right
now. That'll happen. No, that's another great example of why I need to get a video light. I mean, we don't really have this sort of situation here. Maybe in Stuttgart or something like that, I could find something like that. But you're not going to find, that's the thing here, is you're not going to find that without massive crowds of people. That's one of the main differences here. So
Can I just quickly mention my lights, my Atom Challenge B, like the second one?
Let's do that one.
And that one was at the Stanley Christmas train where there's people everywhere. So I was just looking for a spot sort of out of the way where nobody else was going to really be in the shot. And so my daughter posed her up against a little fence wall, and there's some water in behind there that's reflecting some of the blue lights down on her, beside her camera right, are just reflecting off the little pool of water. But here's the video light to me at its best. Like, it's dark out. All this light on her is all video light, but it just looks somehow to me just right. Like, it's just the right amount. Flash here would probably create some hot spots. There was no editing done with this light whatsoever. This is just pretty much out of camera with a little bit of saturation. And I just love how easy it was and just how good that light looks as a single light source.
Yes. In a vacuum, your other photo is much better.
Yes.
But there's a caveat there. This might be a photo that you end up liking because it shows a little more environment of where you are. Like, the other one could be anywhere. The other one could be a Photoshop backdrop.
Yeah.
You know, for all you care. Obviously, it's not, and you wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, in theory, you could have shot that at the other light shot the background without them in it,
right?
And just shoot it as a plate and then green screen your kids in every year. You could do it.
Yeah. And don't. To me, no. And to me, this second shot is kind of like how I would want the video light to work. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of, you know, the right amount of light and how it can be used, you know, with the lighting in the background, like, it just the right amount. Now, again, this is a camera that does really well with high ISO. I want to say this is probably shot 6400 ISO or 8000. Like, it's a high ISO, I believe. It's getting up there. And so I can get a shutter speed.
3200.
Is it? Oh, okay, because I went much higher, so I'm surprised this one was only 3200. But anyway, so you need to be able to get a camera that can do this well, so you're not going to get this on, you know, my Canon T2i could not have done this shot.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Not this well.
The video light is certainly helped along by a full-frame camera that does a decent job on the ISO noise.
Okay. Now let's get mine out of the way.
Okay.
Here's my kids. The end.
That's it?
I don't know. There's stars there.
I like it.
It's fine. It's one of those things where, I got overconfident. And it's not so much about the photo. It's the experience. How I wanted to lock my kids out of the house that night. Yeah. How about this? How about either you help daddy and it takes 15 seconds, or you throw a big tantrum and then I throw a bucket of cold water on you and leave you outside?
So where is this?
This is my backyard.
Okay, and what are those lights?
Those are just little Christmas lights that we hung up. I basically strung up lights in the apple tree in our backyard. And I had the idea when you said lights, I said, okay, well, here we go. We don't have the wall of lights like you guys have to go to. But I said, you know, the ones in my backyard, they're going to be really cool, especially when I do the kitschick little move where I put the star cut out. You know, covering my lens, like, so I can mm-hmm. I can shape the bokeh,
right?
So this is me doing that. I made a little insert that I put on my it actually works out really well if you want to do this kind of thing. I have my UV filter that we talked about a few episodes ago, and basically I cut out a little round disc, got an X-Acto knife and cut the star in the very center. And it fits right in there perfectly. Wind it on the 85 mil, shoot it wide open, and this is the result. This is all out of camera. There's no editing here at all.
So yeah,
100% out of camera.
That's what I thought you had done. I thought that was exactly what you had done. And I guess my only critique here is that it's just dark. Like, yeah, just you lose the separation between everything. Like where he is versus where she is versus where the background is.
But it looks photoshopped.
I do think that you're close to something here.
I would try to include, I'd bring the background up, but there is no background to bring up. There's nothing right there. It's my dark yard, you know, in the wintertime.
In which case, then the only thing that you could, I guess, could have done is more lights, like more lights, and fill that in with lights. But then you'd need a lot of lights.
Yeah, and there already is quite a few lights. And the trick is here is I could shoot it from, you know, different angles. Like I could come, I got all set up. And, you know, it was the evening, of course. Wait for it to get dark, and I got all set up in the backyard and had the kids come out, and it just wasn't working. Like just the angle that I was at. I was basically off to the camera left, shooting from on a 90-degree angle into the side of the lights. But because of the way, if they fill out the tree, it was just a different pattern that I didn't like the pattern.
Right.
So I just came around the other side of the house, did a 90, and shot this way. But there's not as much room. And now I can see my window of time with the kids has disappeared, actually.
Right.
And so I threw the flash up, and so. Again, like you say, I think I'm on the right track of something that could be good. This was not well executed. I think this would be kind of a cool thing to do in the situation, like where with your photo challenge, like with that many lights.
Oh yeah, 'cause you have so many lights. Yeah.
If you were to go out and try that with a shaped bokeh, probably do it. Just take your daughter. Make your life easy if you are going to do it. I don't think Jack's going to care.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't care.
If you were to make it like the little stars on Sarah's jacket, I think she would really like that photo.
Yeah, I agree.
You're not doing it, are you?
I might. You never know.
I think it would work out quite well at that location. I think it'd be really quite cool.
All right.
So mine, in the end, I mean, I wish I had more lights. That's on me. Moving on.
Okay.
This week's topic, which, do we even have time? We'll make it happen.
I thought this week's topic was video lights.
Should have been. Have we actually talked about that? Like a specific,
I don't know. I don't think we have.
This week's topic. No, you know what today is?
What?
5 years.
Okay.
Episode 260 represents 5 years of doing this show.
Wow.
Really? How did that happen?
I don't know.
You just look up and there it is, 5 years. So we want to talk a little bit about the 5 years, how things have changed, where we've gone, that kind of stuff. But When we started, which PS was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
How long did you think we would go?
5 episodes.
Well, I figured we would do, you know, one episode a year for 5 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're right on target.
Yeah. Here comes the Christmas episode. And that's it. Nothing in between.
Yeah.
No, we have not missed a week.
How many episodes did you do of the dad cast?
We didn't get... Oh, the pilot didn't get picked up. Which was more logistics than anything. And,
yeah,
and,
no, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. Looking back, it could have been something. And I think it is about 900 things that other people are doing anyways.
Yeah, I think it exists.
At the time, it didn't. This was like 5 years ago. I decided it would be a good idea, and never aired that first one. Also, I started off the first episode with my buddies, and your friends too. You're friends with them, and they're kind of jackasses,
right?
So they took it as an opportunity to just, hey, let's just make fun of people.
Yeah,
that wasn't the plan, but on this show, every single week for 5 years without missing.
Right.
There was that one time where you did not hit record.
We had to do it twice.
We did it twice. We missed a week, but we did record a placeholder.
Right.
But other than that, when we started, I mean, I had no clue A, where we were going, or B, how to publish a podcast. How do you produce a podcast?
Well, I record my end and then you do it.
Yes. I've actually talked to Chris Marquardt the other day, because I'll be on his show in January. Already recorded, but it'll air in January. And he said there's actually new software where essentially you would install it on your computer and then I just run the show. I click record, it records to my computer. You don't have to do anything. All you do is sit there and nod your head.
Okay.
And I would control more.
Let's do that.
I said no. I said we're gonna hang tight. We're all good. So in terms of how do you produce a podcast? Well, I mean, besides the obvious, the recording the sound, the putting it together and all that stuff, but what do you do? Like what at first, it just came out. We would record an episode, and it would just come out, you know, 8 hours after we finished recording it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever day that happened to be. And it sort of occurred to me relatively early on that as we started building up listeners, perhaps we should have a date, like a release day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feedback was that I was getting was a lot of people were listening to this on their commute, on the way to work. And so I said, well, you know, I figured I'm going to shoot for Monday mornings. Monday mornings has something to look forward to. It's a whole, you know, Mondays. But don't worry, the two hosers will be there for you on your morning commute.
Yes.
So that's what it was. And specifically the Monday morning in Europe time.
Okay.
Commute. So it shows up in the evenings on the West Coast. But that's it. Like, those are things I learned along the way. I had no clue we'd go 5 years. I had no idea. I didn't think about it like, oh, okay, we'll do this for 6 weeks, you know. But I didn't know what to expect from you in terms of, you know, how much time you could commit or what you wanted to do.
Right.
Here we are. But skill level, day one, refresh everybody's memory. What was your photography skill level on day one?
Not good.
It was a zero.
I was just learning, had my Canon, I think, XS.
Yep.
That was my first SLR. I think that's what I started the podcast with, and eager to learn.
Do you remember, what was the impetus for buying that camera? Do you remember how that went?
Well, I think my daughter was recently born, and so the thought was, okay, I can get a decent camera so that, you know, I can take some good pictures of my kids. And it was something like I had a I had a I bought a TV from a electronic store, and the deal was if you bought the extended insurance plan and didn't use it, like they had this deal where I never buy the extended warranty on anything, but it was almost too good to pass up because it was you buy the extended warranty. If you don't use it after the 3-year term or whatever it is, you get back the full value of the insurance policy in store credit.
Right.
So I thought, oh, perfect. So it's like a layaway plan. So once I got the store credit, I thought, okay, here's whatever it was, $400, $500. I'm going to put this towards a camera.
And at the time, like you said to me, this was like sometime in like October or something like November, probably October. And you said, yeah, I'm thinking about getting a camera, because you and I had talked a little bit about photography. You had expressed an interest before the show, before we started the show.
Right.
You had expressed an interest of ramping up, you know, like learning how to take pictures. Basically, you know, graduating from your point and shoot. And you said, you know, so we talked a little bit, you know, here this is what this is and whatnot. And then you said, yeah, I'm probably gonna buy this camera, but I'm gonna wait for the Boxing Day sale because, you know, it's gonna come down so much.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the end of October or something like that. And I said, what about the pictures that you're gonna take between now and then? You have like 2 months of your daughter running around being cute. What about those photos? Like, so let's say the camera is $550 right now. It's going to go on for $500 at Boxing Day. Are those 2 months worth $50 to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, they're not, you said.
No,
wait a second. Not. Whatever one works the best, you went and bought the camera the next day.
Yeah.
And then ended up getting some price protection guarantee anyways. So it worked out. No, really.
Probably something like that.
So like, it was a situation of, yeah, I mean, you don't want to run out and be an early adopter on everything, because sometimes you pay, you know, $8,000 for something that's going to cost $400 in a year and a half.
Right.
But in that case, it was, yeah, go out and get a camera. But so now, great, now I have this camera. Now what do I do with it? Which is kind of where most people, you know, find themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it had occurred to me, I thought, you know, I knew that you don't do things halfway, that you're not going to just, you know, get the camera out of the box and go, hockey game's on, see you later. You mm-hmm. know, like you're going to commit to this. So I thought, it just somehow occurred to me that I'm going to basically tell you whatever you want to know anyways. Whether it's just, you know, over a coffee or send you an email or whatever it is, any question you have, I'm going to answer it. Done. However, what if we do this on a weekly basis as the show? And
right.
that's kind of how the show started. And I don't even like I've never listened back to the first episodes, nor will I.
No, neither have I.
But it's got to be funny. How to hear how the show has changed since then.
Well, and even too, I think it would be interesting in terms of the references we make to our kids, because you know our kids kind of grew up.
Well, mine didn't exist.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of early stuff, you know, going on. I'm sure, you know, stories about, you know, your kids when they're babies and when they're born and all of that stuff. And my kids, certainly when they're little and I'm not sure Jack would have just been born before we started. So there's definitely a nostalgic part of it for us. And maybe someday I will listen back to some of those ones just to sort of hear some of the conversation that we had, you know, at a different point in our lives. So
that's true.
I'm getting very sentimental now.
Well, I'm sentimental more so for the free time I had back then.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Photo challenge, yeah, I could do that any day of the week.
Yeah.
I don't know, what's Adam's problem? He has to wedge in between breakfast and leaving for work. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now I know how that goes. So when it came from, you know, obviously now, so Adam's gone from knowing pretty much nothing about photography up to now he's a working professional. I mean, to be fair, it is your second job, but if you were to make a go of it, you could work as a photographer.
Yeah, I think I could if I committed to it.
You could. I think right now you're obviously making a lot more money and it's a lot more sane option to be a massage therapist, but
or physiotherapist. I take a little bit of not offense, but yeah, no, I'm pretty proud of my education and my work. So,
oh,
physiotherapist.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know.
You could have sworn it was massage.
I could have done the research, but...
There's nothing wrong with massage.
Here we are. Just, okay.
Going to get a whole bunch of angry massage therapist emails tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. That's our primary target audience outside of photographers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones who buy them. A lot of massage tables are purchased on our Amazon. A lot of oil.
Yeah.
So, okay. So going back to when you're on level zero, where did you think you saw the quickest progression? Like what sort of aspect of photography did you pick up quickly?
I think, again, all photography for me boils down to just a true understanding of, you know, the major parameters, how ISO works, how aperture works, how shutter speed works, and how they work in relation to one another. And I still think that if someone, you know, said, hey, can you explain photography to me in 2 hours? I feel like if you could just hammer home those principles and how they can be manipulated between, you know, manual mode and AV mode, they would be off to the races. And the rest, I feel like, is trial and error after that. But as far as just getting good images and sort of where I feel like most people have a jumping off point, it's just really understanding those three variables. So I feel like that was probably my focus and a ton of experimentation with the camera. And once I learned that, everything else became just kind of like, okay, well, how does the light react in this situation, or what can I do to manipulate things in this situation? But it's that really that core understanding of the exposure triangle that makes it all go.
Which is why we started with that.
Exactly.
I mean, for me, that's always been the idea is, if you're going to teach somebody to fish, that's how you do it. And by teaching somebody to fish, if you teach them to fish, you know, in the Fraser River, guess what? They can probably go fish out in the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
You know, with some trial and error that you're talking about. So that was kind of the idea from day one.
And I mean, what has been... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Ask me another question.
Okay. What has been the most... Well, you say now, at this point now, what would you consider the most useful skill set, the most useful thing that you've developed?
Well, that's a tough question, because when I think about, you know, most of the photos I do are for myself and for my own family, in which case, you know, if I miss a photo in my mind that I really want to get, it's not a big deal. I'll come back and get it another time. But where I feel like probably it matters more is if I'm doing paid work for somebody and I've got a very small amount of time. I feel like my toolkit's now big enough that I can problem solve almost any lighting situation, almost any speed of movement, just because I've put in so many reps to this point that there's almost nothing that I haven't seen before. I look at it in very similar to physiotherapy, in that, you know, there's once you spend years and years treating people, you feel like you've come across every injury imaginable. And then every once in a while, you're surprised by something that you may have never seen before. I feel like it's the same thing in photography, in that now all the reps, I've seen it. I've come across a situation that's similar, that if something pops up, I can get something worked out in my mind very quickly. And that's by far the most valuable tool. And then that does come in handy when I'm doing my own stuff for my family, because, you know, I want to be able to do it as quickly as possible so that I get something and they don't lose interest.
And also so that you can kind of get back in the game. Like one of the things, it's great to go down to the Stanley Park train with your video light, but you don't want that to be your evening.
Right.
Like, you want it to be, all right, I'm going to snap some photos and then I'm going to ride the train with my kids.
Exactly. And that was probably a very long-winded way for me to say working quickly, but that is what it all boils down to. And I was talking about this with someone else, and they said, you know, I spent an hour doing, you know, a portrait session. I did photos for some people about 2 weeks ago, and there was two of them, and we did a few individuals. We did some combination shots together, and I mean, I had well covered it in 20 minutes. And I feel as though if that was, you know, 2 years or 3 years ago, I would have, you know, spent double or triple the time. First, just to make sure that I was going to have everything the way I wanted it. And also because of just kind of that lack of confidence, thinking that, you know, I would overshoot just to make sure that there was no possible way that I wouldn't have something good. Now I just know that I've got what I intended to get. I can get there so much quicker. And, you know, just some of the simple things that I might have second-guessed myself on now, it's just, I don't even think twice about it. But then again, that comes with the reps.
Yeah. No, and even from where I started 5 years ago on the show to now, I've done the similar. I mean, obviously, the results aren't as dramatic because I was starting at a different point, and the learning curve kind of works like that. But I find myself the exact same thing. Confidence is higher. I work much quicker. Things are like less dramatic. In that, like, I tend to blend my light in more than I did probably 5 years ago.
Right.
Point being that by doing the show, it wasn't like I sat back like the master and said, okay, here you go, Adam, I'm going to show you. I learned a whole ton of stuff on the journey as well. So like that definitely worthwhile showing other people, teaching other things, because you're going to get better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would you say is your the most useless skill set?
I don't have an answer for you. Point me in a direction.
Well, I mean, something that we spend an hour on and you're probably going to use. Well, we just talked about the shape book. You might actually use it this week, but that's the thing that you're not going to use very often.
Yeah.
Macro?
No, I feel like one day I might use that.
Tilt
I might.
Shift?
Probably never going to use that.
There you go. Well, that's the funny thing is, though, you learn about those sorts of things and they do actually bolster the rest of your photography.
There's some things that I think are really cool when other people do them, but I probably will never get around to doing them. Like, mm-hmm. Like the star trails, like Don does some awesome star trails. It seems like I will never get around to doing that.
That's one of those sort of return on investment things where I'm like, yeah, it looks cool. It doesn't look 9 hours out in the north wilderness cool.
Yeah.
That does, to me, it doesn't. I mean, it's cool when I see someone else having done that.
Or when I see someone do it exceptionally well.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, but I probably would waste a zillion hours getting there, so I'm not going to do that.
How has becoming a real photographer changed your daily life?
My wife gets to post better pictures than her friends on Facebook.
So she's Facebook hero, Facebook superstar.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. That, on a day-to-day terms, that's probably the biggest way. And calendars that I make for my parents at Christmas time, they get to rave about the pictures that they get in calendars. So
that's
there's
true.
That. Yeah,
I think you have won the best son-in-law.
Yeah. Probably.
Definitely. Come on.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
It's a cakewalk. At this point, you're just piling on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. How's that snapshot with the on-camera flash? Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go. Brought the video light to Stanley Park. Check it out. Yeah.
And when it is something that I find enhances my everyday life in that I take great pride in some of the photos that I take of my kids. So I get to, you know, show coworkers, show friends, you know, the photos that I take of the kids and stuff. So yeah, it makes me happy. Photography makes me happy.
I would say like 6, 8, 10 years ago or however long ago it was, I probably didn't recognize nice lighting situations like I do now.
Right.
Now I it's hard to compare because I can't really imagine a time where I didn't notice it. Where, like, you know, you're walking in the old town in Germany somewhere and a nice light reflecting across the town square and you think, oh, wow, that would make a great photo. You know, is that it could be a blessing or a curse, I suppose. But it's hard for me to imagine a time where that didn't exist. And for you, it must be kind of the same.
Oh yeah, that didn't exist for me, you know, 6 years ago. So that part of it, you know, that part of nature really is awesome. And my whole life, I really didn't pay attention to that sort of thing. So I really enjoy it, not just even in photos, but like you say, just noticing the nice light and, you know, showing it to my kids. And that part is just kind of a wonder of nature. That's just a fun everyday thing. So yeah, I really enjoy that as well.
Mm-hmm. And what has been your favorite thing about podcasting itself?
Favorite thing about podcasting. I get to tell my kids that I'm famous.
That is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind
of and they kind of believe it a little bit.
Well, yeah. They can Google it, right?
Well, they just had dinner with a podcast listener's family, so
that's true. That's
proof right there.
What and what was that like for them for hey, you know my dad from like without knowing my dad?
I don't think they overthought it too much.
No.
Yeah. No.
I guess in this world that this is the only world they know, not just the you as a podcaster, but I mean this technology world, they don't know the old times when this wouldn't be possible.
Right.
That for you to be actually, I don't want to say famous, but known by other people, you'd have to have an album pressed.
Right.
You know, your dad's Raffy? And yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But, Not to take the shine off it. It's it's a cool thing, but that to me is actually my favorite part of the podcasting is the interaction with strangers.
Yeah,
and not necessarily the physical in person thing like you're talking about, but just the idea that there is that contact, like if we get emails or messages or Twitters or whatever it is. Getting to participate with the listeners is the best part for me. Like when people,
I agree. Yeah.
When people take time to send like their pictures or share their photos, that's what I love. And the funny thing is, and I know you're gonna argue with me, but before we started the podcast, we both sort of had a gruff reputation.
Sure.
Wow, not even going to argue.
I'll go. I'm okay with that.
And yeah. and not really gruff. I mean, that's outsiders thought we were gruff, but maybe like an acerbic sort of wit, we'll call it. You know.
Yeah.
People thought we were jerks.
Sure.
And that was before we even knew each other, too. And yeah, and so
separately.
I did. I actually recognized that when because, you know, wasn't like you and I grew up together, but when our paths intersected and you'd be at parties, I immediately recognized you as fellow jerk. Hey,
jerk squad.
Yeah, hey. I wasn't judging you. I wasn't thinking, oh, look at this jerk. I was like, oh yeah, I know him. I haven't seen him at the meetings though, and nor was I thinking, hey, this is my territory. Go be a jerk elsewhere.
Right.
But I did recognize the certain behavior. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Welcome. Jump in, man. The water's warm. but so that was, you know, on the show, not so much. And then when you meet strangers, you know, through the show or whatever, through photography, absolutely not the case.
Right.
You know, so I think I'd like to think that possibly I've grown or maybe I just, you know, gotten old and realized that it's no good being a jerk, but I like to think this kind of weekly show that we're putting on is kind of part of that growth.
Well, there you go.
So that's the part I like. Okay.
All right.
5 years. Next week's challenge.
I did last time, so I feel like I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I'm taking 2016 off.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's going to be something snowy in the next week. No, you don't have snow.
Oh no, man!
How about pond hockey?
We are getting we're recording this on December 21st. I went walking with my daughter yesterday in a t-shirt.
How about
now? I got hypothermia.
Okay, technically, this is going to air after Christmas, but we're doing this before Christmas. So how about just something Christmas? Just Christmas.
Oh, I was thinking, this is going to air between Christmas and New Year's for the New Year, after the New Year. So the challenge should be something New Year's.
Hmm. Oh, I see.
Fresh start. I already wrote it down. I don't know why I didn't just open with it. Hey, here's the challenge. Fresh start.
How am I going to wedge pond hockey into that?
The opening face-off.
Okay.
With your 19.5 mil lens.
Great. All right.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. We've already had that. And it's the Happy New Year coming up.
Okay.
I say Happy New Year because everyone's going to have a Happy New Year.
Great.
That's it, Adam. Until next year. Oh, websites.
Oh, websites.
Hurry, spit it out.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Great. Mine's AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at TwoHosers.com. And that's it. Until next year, get out there and make better photos.